Habakkuk chapter 3 verses 17 through 19. This is the reading of God's word. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there is no fruit on the vines, though the yield of olives should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He has made my feet like hinds' feet, and makes me walk on my high places. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that you will bless all of us, that we may hear your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word, that our faith will grow and we will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh Father, bless us that your word will be preach correctly, and also we will all understand and believe and obey to bring glory and honor to you. Oh Father, let us have that sweet fellowship with your Son Jesus Christ as we hear your word. We thank you, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I've been preaching for many, many years. If we count my youth pastor days, then I've been preaching almost 40 years. And there are quite a bit of sermons that if I'm able, I want to preach at least once every year. But there's no way that I'd be able to do that. But there are certain sermons that I would want to bring to you time to time. And this is one of them. And there is simply no time today to get into the background of the book of Habakkuk, or how do we come to this passage in the book in detail. Let me just mention this, that if you start reading Habakkuk, there's only three chapters. But in chapter one, Habakkuk learns that God will use the Babylonian kingdom to bring judgment against Judah, his own country. You know, like any other Israelites at the time, well, at least most of them, they thought that they were righteous. So this news of God judging Judah because they were sinful is shocking to Jews at the time. So Habakkuk learns that God will bring Babylonian army to destroy his country. And obviously, Habakkuk is not happy with that. So he complains to God in chapter 1. He complains to God about what God will do to his country. But by God's grace, Habakkuk started to understand the gospel. And that's what we see in chapter 2. So he writes this in chapter 2, verse 4b, the righteous will live by faith. Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And in chapter 3, now we come to chapter 3. Habakkuk is a very different man. He lives by faith. See, the Babylonians are coming. And he says this in chapter 3, verse 16. Because I, Habakkuk, I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. He says, I must wait quietly. See, the complete destruction is coming, and yet I must wait quietly. No more complaints like in chapter 1, no more grumbling. And he waits quietly. And yet, this is not Habakkuk giving up of all of his hope because there's nothing else he could do. No, this is Habakkuk completely trusting God. Oh yes, he is afraid. He knows what Babylonians coming and destroying his country means. So he is afraid. But even though he is afraid, he's actually welcoming at the same time the will of God to be done. So in chapter 3, Habakkuk completely surrenders to the will of God. And that will of God is the destruction of his country. He lives by faith. And this is what the true faith will do in God's people. And by faith, in facing that destruction, coming destruction, he says, this verse 17, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there will be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there will be no cattle in the stalls, and yet I will rejoice. Habakkuk lives by faith. You see, Habakkuk no longer put any hope in this world or the things of this world. Though the Babylonians would come and completely destroy everything, though through it he might have to die, yet, he says, I will completely trust my God and desire him and him alone. I'll live by faith. He considers everything other than God rubbish. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 through 9. Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him. Suffer the loss of all things to gain Jesus Christ. See, Habakkuk is truly blessed. Even as the destruction comes, and people will look at Habakkuk and have pity on him or feel sorry for him because everything will be destroyed. And yet, according to the Bible, he's so blessed. The problem of too many churchgoers today is that they don't look at things according to the Bible. They follow what the world tells them to believe. He lives by faith. And through faith, he possesses his God and his kingdom, heaven, as his eternal inheritance. See, Paul says in Philippians this way, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of being filled, secret of being satisfied. What does it mean? He means that his joy does not, it's not according to the world or the things of the world. It really doesn't matter. He could have so much or he could have nothing, and yet his joy remains the same. Because his joy does not depend on the world or things of the world. His joy is in Christ. Do we even know what he's saying? Do you really understand what he's saying? Or you are such that you cannot even think of joy when you don't have things of this world. There's no joy. What do you mean joy? Yes, we're speaking of things that the world does not know about. They will never know. But the tragedy is that even people who go to church, they don't know. Our joy, our satisfaction is not in this world or the things of this world. Our joy is in God and His kingdom, heaven. Thus, no matter what happens in this world, we already have God and His kingdom as our eternal inheritance. Even if we lose everything here, even losing our lives, our joy and our satisfaction do not change. Through faith that God gives us, we participate in our Lord Jesus Christ's life and becoming more and more like Him. Jesus suffered the loss of all things, even his life, and considered all things rubbish just to gain us. Habakkuk, do you see it? Habakkuk is given the opportunity to be like Christ. Jesus at the Mount of Gethsemane, right before his crucifixion, as he faces coming death, as he faces coming abandonment from his beloved Father, coming destruction, as he faces that destruction, this is what we read about at that time. Matthew 26, verse 37, he began to be grieved and distressed. Mark chapter 14, verse 33, Jesus began to be very distressed and troubled. Luke chapter 22, verse 44, and began in agony. He was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. But even as he faces that coming death, he says, but my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Do you see it? Habakkuk, in our passage, is imitating Jesus in Mount Gethsemane, Garden of Gethsemane. Do you know how precious that opportunity is? That in some point of your life, you are able to witness Jesus Christ through what you do? People might not even take that as a precious thing. But for us, That's what life is all about. Jesus invites us to witness Him. You know, when today, when we say witnessing Christ, so many people think that you need to go out in the front of market and bother people, stopping them from going somewhere and says, oh, you know, let me tell you something about gospel. They think that's witnessing. Then they come back from that and they just live that sinful life, wanting more of the world. And they think that they have witnessed Christ. The word witness is the word martyr. Those people who die because of Christ. That's what it means to witness. You know, those witnessing programs, they allow you to feel like, oh, I done that because of through that program, you will be standing in front of a market for 1 hour. We don't want to give you opportunity to feel like you have witnessed when you didn't. You witness Christ through your life. That's witnessing, martyr. And Habakkuk is given opportunity to witness Christ through his life. When we see Habakkuk, we are able to see Christ. That's true witnessing. Jesus has told us, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ will be persecuted. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith will produce endurance. God already told us. Just like God has told Habakkuk of coming judgment, coming suffering. Just like God has told all of us that when we live as a Christian, we will be persecuted. There will be sufferings because of our faith. Now, how do you wait for that to happen in your life? What is your attitude as you face the coming suffering? Do you live by faith? Yes, you and I, we join Habakkuk in saying, verse 17, though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vine, though the yield of the olive should fail and fields produce no food. Verse 18 and 19, yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places. Brothers and sisters, as we read about what Habakkuk says in chapter 3, let us understand one thing here. All the complaints of Habakkuk in chapter 1, That situation has not changed. Habakkuk is not saying that even if I die, I will exalt in the Lord, I will rejoice in God, because God will change the situation. That God will no longer bring destruction. That's not reason why he says that. Who could understand if that's true, right? In chapter 1, God says, I will bring destruction, but he changes his mind, so I will not do that. And Habakkuk praises God. That makes sense to you. But what changed? All the suffering that Habakkuk understood that he had to go through in chapter 1. In chapter 3, what has changed? Nothing. Destruction will still happen. Sufferings will still happen. And yet, look, Habakkuk has changed. He changed. He lives by faith. This is the key. God did not change any of Habakkuk's situation in this world. God did not promise that things will get better. No. Actually, the things will get worse really fast. And Habakkuk knows it. And yet, he no longer complains. The question is then, what changed him? What changed Habakkuk? What made him say our passage in chapter 3? Answer is, the righteous will live by faith. Through faith, Habakkuk sees heaven beyond this world. He sees the end. He sees the destruction of this world through the invasion of the Babylonians. And he learns how foolish it is to hope in this world or hope in the things of this world. It could vanish just like that. This is how it happens all the time. The same event, same thing happened. But if God blesses you with grace, that suffering, this person will understand that I should not put hope in this world. But if God's blessing is not given to you, if he doesn't pour out his grace, then same event, and yet rather than his faith growing, he will curse God and he will complain. Same thing happened. Two completely different responses. Depends on whether God blesses you with his grace or not. We need to look at our responses in our lives. How do you handle these things in your life? Do you live by faith? See, in chapter 1, Habakkuk prided in his own righteousness. Man, he thought that he was somebody. But he learns how quickly he will fall, he will fail on his own. And now he says, God made my feet like hinds' feet. Like hinds' feet, feet that not slip. You firmly stand upon the faith. And God makes me walk on my high places. He makes me walk on heavenly places. He is now able to stand firm in faith. All else will fail. We stand in faith and faith alone. Psalm 24, verse 3. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may attend in his... Who may stand in his high places? The answer is all those who live by faith in Jesus Christ. You know, boasting in the church is so ridiculous. That's why, you know, it really doesn't impress me you went to a certain college or you make so much money or you have all this property. It doesn't impress me at all. What is important is that, do you live by faith? Do you love your Lord Jesus Christ? For so many people, even people who go to church, loving Christ and living by faith, it has no value. But it's all about how much money you make or how successful you are out there. Please, not in this church. Not here. Really don't matter. And how do I know that it doesn't matter? Bible tells me. It does not matter. Does no matter what happens in this life, in this world, we say, yet, I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy of the Lord is our strength. You say that to the worldly people, they will laugh at you. Oh, keep on rejoicing. Oh yeah, you have so much power. What is your power? Is it money? What is it? Or is it joy of the Lord? We are living in a generation in which we have to worry whether people who go to church will understand this, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Do they really even understand this? No, it's money. That's my experience. I go out, if I have money, I have power. Joy of the Lord, what can it do? Is that how you think? All of God's people rejoice in God. Brothers and sisters, you who are coming to His table, rejoice. God makes us walk on our high places. God makes me walk on the places of glory, the glory of heaven. Brothers and sisters, in this world, we may find ourselves in verse 17. Oh yeah, so often than not, we may find ourselves in verse 17, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vine, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the field produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and that there be no cattle in the stall, we might find ourselves in verse 17 in this world. But my present spiritual heavenly reality is that I exalt in my God. I rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and I walk on my high places. Do you understand? Don't just look at verse 17. Look at verse 18 and 19. Don't just look at your situation in this world, but look at your situation in heaven. Please, brothers and sisters, God does not say please to us, but I do. Please. Oh yeah, people will laugh at you. What will joy of the Lord, what would it get you? They will say. They will sneer at your faith. Like I said, they will say, oh yeah, keep on rejoicing, okay. But I'm speaking the truth, brothers and sisters. Truth that the world will never understand. Though all my problems are getting worse, though there might be a marital issues, though there might be family issues, though my business produces no profit, though I have no job at the time, though I have terminal illnesses, or on the other hand, though I am healthy, though my business produces so much profit, whatever situation you find yourselves, we trust God. We rejoice in God of our salvation. We exalt in Jesus Christ, rejoice in Jesus Christ now and forever, because Jesus is our strength, Jesus is our wealth, Jesus is health, Jesus is our meaning and the purpose, Jesus is my life, He is my satisfaction and joy, He is my everything, and He is my God. And I don't care how many people out there will laugh at me. This is how I live. This is how we live. We live by faith. And I could guarantee you, because the Bible tells me, that you will not be sorry, even though you might lose everything in this world living this way. It's the pride of heaven. Bible tells us how God comes to us and lifting us our heads. Lift your head. Hold your head high. Because Jesus is everything to us. You know, I'm not against you having big house. I'm not against you being rich. What I'm telling you is that that's not our purpose. God might give it to us or He might not, but it really doesn't matter. What matters is we rejoice in our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you lose that, I don't care how successful you are, you're going to lose big time. As you come to His table, I want all of you to see Jesus Christ through faith, through the Word of God. I want you to see Him. You remember how Habakkuk says? Habakkuk says, I will exalt in the Lord and I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. But as you come to His table, I want you to see Jesus Christ through His word and through your faith. How Jesus is exalting in you. How He is rejoicing in you. Do you know why Jesus is happy? You! And He wants you to be happy because of Him. Is that too much to ask? I don't think so. Jesus exalts in you and rejoices in you. He invites you to His table and invites you to have the heavenly fellowship with Him. Oh, brothers, come and be happy. And I say again and again, be very, very happy. I don't care what your situation might be out there. And some of you are indeed suffering. But do not ask me to have pity on you. I cannot have pity on you. Because I understand, I know how blessed you are in Christ. I know how blessed you are. I don't care what reason you might give me to ask me to have pity on you. I cannot. I just can't. Because I know the truth. Be very, very happy, brothers and sisters. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You that no matter what happens in this world, how much we suffer or how much we have to be lonely, we have every reason to be happy. And that reason is Jesus Christ. We thank You. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.